Our gospel lesson this morning is from the book of John, chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am to see my glory, which you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love of which you have loved may be in them, and I in them. Our epistle lesson is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, and for this reason I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I invite the young disciples to come up, please. And as they're doing that with the slightly older disciples, please write your names in those black books in the pews in a way that we can get in touch with you. We appreciate you being here, and even if you've been going to this church for 60 years, we may not have your cell phone number or an up-to-date mailing address, so this would do a lot of good so that we can just reach out to you. And you have my promise, just like some of the grocery store people and other people that want your contact information, that if you want to stop receiving anything from us, we will honor that and help you with that. But if you would, please give me some of your contact information so we have that start. All right. Have y'all heard of something called the alphabet? Have you heard of the alphabet?
What is the alphabet?
The alphabet is all the letters put in an order.
That's right.
Do you know what this A says? Do you know what A says?
A, B, B.
Do you know S?
Yes.
What does S do?
S.
Yes. S.
Good job, Oliver. Joshua, do you know what A says?
Ah.
Yeah, A goes ah, ah. And so, now why do we learn letters? That sounds kind of silly, doesn't it? Why do we learn them?
We learn letters so we can put them together, know what they say. We put them together so we can write and sound out words.
That's right. Eventually they can help us sound out words, they can help us write words, and they can help us read, can't they? Isn't that awesome? So even though they start out as very simple letters and very simple, later they get to help us with cool stuff.
Yeah. A, B, C.
A, B, C. B, C. You're getting it, man. All right, now. Symbols are letters, too. Symbols? Yeah, y'all, come on. Symbols are letters. Letters are symbols, but we also have some symbols here in the church. We have this cool symbol, and the ring and the cross is really cool, too. The ring and the cross is like a symbol that we are all one. Did you notice in the readings they were talking about us all being one?
And I want to show you another symbol. Y'all can stay there, and I'll show you the other symbol. This is an ancient Christian symbol that many vehicles are helping with today, although we're also moving to stormtroopers and other things. I don't think they used stormtroopers in the ancient days, but maybe. So, what is this? What does that look like? Yeah, it looks like a fish, a little bit, especially if we put maybe some fins, you know. It looks like goldfish crackers, doesn't it? Well, that was an ancient Christian symbol, because the way we write fish is epsilon. It's actually a Y in Greek. So that's how we write the name fish in Greek, and it stood for Jesus Christos Theos Weos Zose, which means Jesus Christ, Lord, God's Son and Savior. And it was just a shorthand that in persecuted times, someone might draw that in the sand and another person might go up and finish it and show a fish. But the word ichthus became kind of an anagram for what we believe in Jesus. And just like that anagram, what we believe about the Jesus that we say in the Apostles' Creed sometimes and some of our other creeds, they're like letters. First, we just need to know the letters and their sounds and how to write them. But later, they can help us read, they can help us write, they can help us do even more. So, yes, we start out with understanding or saying, not even understanding, but we just say, Jesus Christ is God's Son, our Lord and Savior. We say that, and we might not even know what it means. But later, we come, as we are Christians throughout our lives, we come to develop a greater and greater understanding of how to use that. So let's pray. All right, we all pray with me? And we can ask the congregation for help too. Holy God, thank you for the alphabet, for symbols, and things that help us grow into the deeper meaning of you. Thank you for teaching us as children and for giving us minds like children that want to learn and be close to you throughout our life. Amen. All right, y'all have a good time in nursery, okay? You want to take this? You probably do. I think they have some things to write with in color in there, though. All right. Now the adult sermon, which people don't pay quite as much attention to. And if any of y'all are thinking about weddings, the wedding length sermon is more on the lines of the children's sermon. So don't worry about that. I want you to take a deep breath. Close your eyes, in fact. Take another one. Take as many as it takes. Just keep your eyes closed. Just breathe. Just breathe in and out. Keep your eyes closed, and I want you to ponder with me. What would it feel like to be truly and completely loved? Keep breathing. If you're not sure if you're breathing, just check on that. Make sure you keep breathing. What would it feel like to be truly connected? wanted, desired. Not what would it be like, what would it feel like for your goodness and presence to be seen, to feel accepted and never left out? What would it feel like to never feel worse off or more disadvantaged than someone else? What would it feel like to feel whole and confident in who you are and unashamed? For others and even yourself to be proud of you and your accomplishments. To get full credit from everyone for the things you did in the past or would like to do. And that it's crystal clear to everyone and yourself and God that you've done everything you could to try to do what was important and right, and that that is valued, and you did the best successes you could muster, and in fact, you even won at whatever it was that you were trying to do. It worked. Imagine what that would feel like. And keep breathing. What would it feel like to freely offer the fullest compassion to others and yourself, and for it all to be received and to fully soak in? What would it feel like to know, not think, to know that all of your needs are fulfilled, that you have security in every dimension of your life? Your health, your relationships, your finances, your property, something to eat, a roof over your head. You're plugged in, yet you're getting rest. What would it feel like to have the peace of mind that you literally have nothing to worry about? And that if you measure yourselves to others in every situation, you feel good about yourself with flying colors. And you might not necessarily feel bad about others either. Now, as you're breathing, I want you to put your feet flat on the ground. I want you to uncross your arms and legs. Sit up, not ramrod straight, but fairly straight, but yet relaxed. Feel your body. Feel your breath. Hear the sound, smell the air. Our bodies are not extraneous or expendable, or else God would have never become human in Jesus Christ. Our bodies are real. Let's stop ignoring them. Let's stop ignoring reality. Keep your eyes closed. What would it feel like if everything that is wrong with the world was put right? All the innocent, all the underdogs, were blessed 1,000 times over, like at the end of Job. What would it feel like if the high standards we set for goodness in ourselves and others were met? What if we could feel completely alive, not dull or dead, not becoming numb and insignificant to the world, but fully alive? What would that feel like? If we could be thanked and consoled for the times we made things happen, even if it seemed brash or rude at the time. What would it feel like if we no longer needed to police the world or look out for innocent people or dear people and make sure that I have their back? What if somebody had their back already? What if someone had our back always? Just a few more. What would it feel like if we knew that someone always had our back? If we got along with everyone in this room and in the world? What if I had defined edges around myself? If we all knew who we were and could exercise full conviction, knowing that that would not separate us from other people, and could do things with energy and strength? Take a deep breath. One last time. because we're getting ready to move on. All right, open your eyes. What does anything I just said and that we pondered on, what does any of that have to do with Jesus or the Bible or the church? And this is an open question, so I really want actual answers. So what does any of that have to do with our scriptures for today, or any scripture, or the church, or Jesus? Yes.
Acceptance.
Okay. That maybe the church teaches acceptance, and what we were talking about deals with some acceptance. I like that.
Sounds like heaven to me.
Anybody have that thought? Yeah, a lot of people. What else? Yes. Being accepted and giving are part of a cycle, and are two sides of the same coin. What else? Yes.
I've experienced just very much what you described this morning.
That you've experienced it. That what we were talking about was experienced as being part of the church by Susie this morning, as the church, as this church.
Striving throughout our lives to reach whatever we can.
Striving throughout our lives to reach what we can of some of that stuff we were pondering.
It's all offered to us right now.
It's all offered to us right now. An interesting thought. Any others?
In the equality that you're talking about, that we are all equally loved by God.
That we are equally loved by God. Ephraim. That the basis of the teachings of all religions touch on some of the things we were mentioning and pondering. Anything else?
Begins with Christ.
Begins with Christ. Interesting. Yeah. If we're not careful, an alphabet is just the ABCs. And we can come in and sing the ABCs. We can learn their sounds. But we can never write and never read, because we just enjoy the ABCs. Same thing with church, religion, Jesus Christ. We can come up here and we can say we believe in Jesus. We can believe in God. We can come to church. We can join a church. We can get T-shirts with Jesus on them. Wear a cross. Say prayers. Do things to help people. But are we getting to what Christ came down here for? Or are we missing some of that? Because there were people when Jesus came who were saying prayers, who were spending a lot of time at church, who were having plenty of meetings, wise elders using their wisdom. And as the Sanhedrin putting him on the cross and saying, well, he thinks he's God. We can so easily get everything said right and believe it and have no experience of any of the first things we were pondering. Sadly, it's just true. We need to start with saying those things, start with believing those things, or saying we believe them, and actually believing that they are true. We can believe that they are true for a very long time without experiencing that they are true. And so my hope for me as a Christian, and my hope for you as individuals, and my hope for us as a congregation that's part of the church, is that we can experience some of the truth of those first things we pondered that Christ came to share with us before we spend too much energy trying to get other people to join this church and hear about this church and hand out these brochures to a place we've never been ourselves. It's very tempting to do that, to say, come, join this, believe in God, say the right things, hang out with us, let's worship. You might not always feel loved internally, regardless of how nice people are around you. You might beat yourself up every day. To yourself. But But how can we let God soak into our very body so that our actual everyday life, we feel God's presence and we believe what some of this scripture was about, what Jesus Christ was about, what all this is about? That's my number one concern. And the tag word that people call it is spirituality. But I think that needs to be important to this church and to each of us, is how do we experience the truth of any of this that we say on a regular basis and that we are supposed to say in the Book of Order and in the Gospels? Go tell people. Yes, well, yeah, well, let's go tell people, but let's experience it too. You know? Well, this says that there's a God out there that loves us. Please believe that. Or, you know, God loves us. And I hope you can see it on my face. And I hope I can remember that during my rough moments later in the day when things don't go as planned. I think this ichthus thing is fascinating. Because all these symbols, you know, when we're talking about the unity, who knew what that circle really meant? But it is a symbol for unity. And yet, the reality, according to the scriptures, is that we're much more united than we ever believe on a daily basis. Ichthus, a fish. Yes, we could take it to mean that we should believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, our Savior, and that if you don't believe that, well, maybe we should burn you or kill you. And we've done that. I mean, I'm sorry. It's not comfortable, but we have done that. We've said, here's the meaning. Go spread it. Go spread that or fire, whichever one, you know. Light them up if they don't agree, because it's the truth. And this is the only way you're going to experience love. So there's a comedian that talks about if the British did the Spanish Inquisition, it would be, would you like death or cake? Cake or death? Well, cake, okay, here's cake. Cake or death? You know, but so we have another option other than death these days in 2019. We don't have to kill the people that don't believe this or say the right words. Because that's our history, of good and bad. We have some wonderful history. But this can mean something deeper. Imagine our thirst. Anybody wish the things that we were pondering on earlier could be true, that we could have access to that? Even if we believe that they're there all the time. Anybody in here wish we could feel that way and feel some of that? Anybody? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. So there's about half of you don't, half of you do. For those of you who don't want to experience those things, just keep on doing what you're doing. And go to a church, because we're good at helping you with that too. But for those of us who want to experience that, I'm going to give us an image of a fish talking to another fish. And the fish says, I'm thirsty. I like this stuff called water that would help me move where I wanted to go, and it would help me internally to process what I eat, and it'd make me live if I could find this water. And then the other fish would say, oh, I believe in it, and I think you should believe in it too. Evidently, it's all around us, but nobody can see it. It's here somewhere. I don't know how it works, but just believe it. Just trust me about this. Just go with it. But it does exist. And so then fish number one's like, okay, you know, maybe that'll help. Maybe it won't. I don't know. So those are fish one and two. And that's where the church can stay if we want to. That's where we can stay as Christians as long as we want. But we could also be fish number three. And I don't know how this happens. And I don't even know why this happens. That first day that fish number three goes around and goes, this is water. This is water. I want us to be able to feel God and experience God. like a fish in water, surrounded by it. And yes, first we're going to have to believe it's there, whether we feel it or not. But eventually it'd be great if we could experience and feel it. One thing we can do is to notice, to just stop and notice that we're alive, to breathe. If we're all like this and up in our head thinking, oh, I got so many things to do. Roll down the windows of your car. Breathe the air. Put your feet on the ground. Be. If we're going to be, here's the thing. Ascension Sunday, Jesus goes up and we're like, when's Jesus coming back? When's Christ going to come back? When's Christ? And even the angels say, hey, look, he's coming down the same way. That should not be your concern. When's Jesus going to show up? When's Jesus going to show up? All this is going on. When's Jesus going to show up? Well, I'm going to flip the question around. When are we going to show up? When are we going to be alive? When are we going to just take a breath and say, here I am. I'm alive right now. I'm in the water right now. This is water. I don't want us to miss that. I don't want to miss that. I don't want anybody to miss that. So let's work on that. That's our theme for June, is how can we be present? You getting off school as a teacher, or your kids or grandkids getting off school, and you're going to have this wonderful time, or you have vacation or a weekend coming up. Oh, I can't wait till the weekend. I can't wait till vacation. How are we going to be present? How are we going to enjoy anything about it? Comedians made jokes about, oh, I can't wait till the weekend. And then they come in on Monday. They're like, did you have a good weekend? Oh, it was great. It was amazing. It was fabulous. You know, how are we going to be refreshed with that presence? Just taking a deep breath. We can have it right now. We can have it anytime we want. But it takes practice. Even though it's so simple, it's going to take some practice. If we can do that, then we can hand out brochures on what it means to be a Christian and what it means to join our church. If we can access this, then we're ready for Pentecost, which is coming next Sunday. If we can do this and be present and experience any of that stuff that we were pondering at first, then we can be ready for that power. And instead of trying to make all this happen ourselves, like we usually try to do, make our security happen, make ourselves feel loved, make other people feel loved, this is the last thing we're going to end on. And yes, I do try to fit way too much into regular sermons. I do. Water goes to the lowest point. And if we can realize that God fills in all the gaps. Our security gaps, our love gaps. That's God's job to fill in the gaps. Like water. To fill in every gap. It's not my job. It's not your job. And ironically, for the what it's worth department, if we let God do God's job of filling in the gaps and us not trying to fill in the gaps, and we get that, and we feel that, then God will say, come with me. You can help with me and fill in some of these gaps too. To God be the glory.